Hello, I'm Jacob Hull, a junior history major at JMU, and I'm about to conduct a podcast interview for Professor Hughes' History 395 class. And this is Brian.
Hi, my name is Brian Petriccioni. I am also a junior history major at JMU and the author of the essay Causes and Effects of Xenophobia in China and the United States.
All right, so for my first question for you, in your paper, you say that at the turn of the 20th century, Imperial China was crumbling down as a result of both internal and external threats. What were these threats and their effects?
The internal threats was widespread poverty and a weak government that just it affected everything about the country. They're at-home relations with their own people and other countries, their relations abroad. They were not able to protect their citizens in other countries, especially specifically the United States, because they had such a weak government. And the widespread poverty forced the unemployment rate to go up, which forced Chinese citizens to look outward for jobs and economic opportunities, which I will talk about later in the essay, in the interview. And the external threats was intrusion from other countries, from Western countries and specifically trying to carve up China for their own interests. And the effects of those were prevalent, and I will talk about them throughout the entirety of this interview.
All right. Okay, so you would say that the Opium Wars were the catalyst for xenophobic sentiments down to the present?
They were. In China, the Opium War was, it essentially was Great Britain trying to expand their influence into China as the British Empire was expanding. And they smuggled opium into China so they could get them high and increase their trade interests within the country. And after the First War, China was forced to sign unfair treaties with Great Britain that were massively in favor of Britain. And then, in between the First and Second Opium War, there was a massive civil war, which lasted 14 years, known as the Taiping Rebellion. Because of this, China was incredibly weak, and Great Britain, as well as France, saw this as an opportunity to further expand their influence and trading routes within East Asia. The xenophobic sentiments that came out of this were firstly because of the destruction of the Emperor's Summer Palace in 1860, a landmark within China. As well, after the Opium War, presence of foreign missionaries and foreign interactions with China grew exponentially when previously there was very little, and this changed the Chinese way of life and started the xenophobic sentiments within the country.
Okay. So, what role did Western missionaries play in Chinese foreign relations?
The emergence of missionaries within the country was a great catalyst on the strain for the relationship. They forced themselves into China, as I previously said, changed the way of life of the Chinese citizens. They would use influence within local governments to force themselves to be the government to be in favor of themselves or the Chinese converts whom they converted to Christianity. As well, those who converted to Christianity were also looked down upon. This was because China saw them as extensions of a foreign power, despite the fact that they were Chinese by birth.
Okay. Around the turn of the century, what was the main Chinese sentiment toward Western influences?
Chinese citizens within the country despised Western influences that were forced upon them, and their hatred would soon come to head and form both the Boxer Rebellion and the anti-American boycott at the turn of the century. They were incredibly xenophobic toward foreigners based off of all the unfair treaties, how they were viewed and treated by those within China, as well as the Boxer Indemnity, which I will talk about later as well.
Okay. Next, what was the Boxer Rebellion and how did it affect Chinese Western relations?
The Boxer Rebellion was a peasant uprising within China. It was caused by the growing poverty within the country and a drought that was suffered towards the 19th century. peasants of the country, mostly farmers, had a drought which crippled their economy even worse than it already was. They, looking for an excuse, blamed the foreign influences and what, like, the gods were punishing them for letting foreign influences within their country. They then went out within the country and destroyed or killed whatever foreign influences they could find. Even women, children, destroyed churches, priests. The peasant boxers also set siege to Peking, or Beijing, which is the capital of China. This greatly hurt relations within the West, because 8 Western countries, including the United States, sent in a total of 19,000 troops to put down this rebellion, and many died. There was great fighting. Over estimated 100,000 people were killed within the Boxer Rebellion.
Wow. Can you explain a little bit about what you refer to as the Boxer Protocol?
Yes, I can. The Boxer Protocol was the product of the negotiations between China and the 8 Western nations that put down the rebellion. They forced China to pay 450 million Heiken taels of silver over the course of 39 years to the 8 nations. This was the equivalent of 330 million US dollars at the time in 1901. This was a major, major catalyst for the xenophobic sentiments within China, as this is an absurd sum of money at the time for a poor economy to pay back. And they felt incredibly disrespected, and that they felt that other nations were taking advantage of them as a weak country, and they couldn't, and the Qing government couldn't do much to stop it.
See, so what was the American sentiment toward Chinese and Chinese Americans leading up to the 20th century?
Americans viewed Chinese, especially the immigrants that came to the country, as below them and dirty. The Chinese immigrants were willing to work for less wages with worse hours and worse conditions, so naturally companies in America would hire them over those Americans who were not willing to do this. As a result of this, specifically those in the West, Americans, hated the Chinese because they took the jobs that they believed were rightfully theirs. They displayed this through racism and violence shown throughout the end of the century. Even the government harbored racist sentiments towards the Chinese, shown through the legislation that was passed in the 19th and continued into the 20th century.
What are some examples of the sort of violent acts committed against Chinese American miners and workers on the west coast of the U.S.?
That's a great question. Unfortunately, there is way too many examples I can choose from. A couple specifically was during the winter of 1859 in the Siskoia Mountains. There was a convention that wanted to expel the Chinese miners from the area, so they gave the Chinese 3 weeks to leave. When the Chinese disobeyed and stayed at their camp, the around 200 armed white miners stormed the camp and forced them to leave. Some Chinese were able to escape, but unfortunately not all were. Around 75 men were captured by the white miners, and they then proceeded to destroy all of their belongings. The next day, these men paraded the Chinese miners down the street, laughing and pelting them with rocks. Soon after this, even more men armed with shotguns and rifles attacked Chinese camps, promising to behead and crucify Chinese immigrants. Unfortunately, that was not the worst, because that was not the only example, because you would see many more, such as the Denver riots of October 1880, the Rock Springs Massacre, September 2nd, 1885, and the Washington Territory riots of 1885, and the Snake River Massacre of June 1887. The Rock Springs Massacre would lead to the death of 28 Chinese miners, and 15 more were wounded.
Very interesting. So, can you give me a basic outline of some of the legislation passed that affected Chinese Americans?
Yes, I can. The first example of many was the 1850s 40 miners tax. This imposed a fee of $20 a month on foreign miners, which at the time was outrageous sum for these people, and was implemented over 30 years prior to the Chinese Exclusion Act, which was the main cause of the 1904 boycott that I will talk about later in the interview. The tax was so large that it caused many Chinese immigrants working in the mines to abandon that altogether. Exactly what the government envisioned, so they could give more jobs to Americans. Some of the main legislation that was passed was the Naturalization Act of 1870, the Chinese Exclusion Act of 82, and the Geary Act of 1892. The Chinese Exclusion Act of 82 was the most important legislation for determining how the Americans viewed the Chinese and vice versa. Another horrible example of racism showed through pieces of legislation was the 1860 city ordinance in San Francisco, which denied Chinese admission to the San Francisco City Hospital. As well, in 1870, peoples of Chinese descent were prohibited from owning a piece of land in the state of California. In the mid-1870s, various laws were put into place to impede the financial progress of Chinese immigrants. One example of this was in 1875, when California passed a bill that regulated the size of the net that Chinese fishermen were allowed to use while shrimping off the coast. And then in 1880, California went even further to hinder the Chinese citizens of their state by passing both the Fishing Act, which forbade any Chinese from engaging in fishing business within the state, and the Act to prevent the issuance of licenses to aliens, which kept the Chinese from obtaining businesses and occupational licenses.
Okay. How did the Chinese boycott of American goods begin?
Essentially, Chinese merchants and intellectuals who were educated on the treatment and exclusion of Chinese immigrants were fed up with the United States, especially because they knew the contributions that Chinese immigrants had made on the Transcontinental Railroad, which helped to put America in the world stage where it is. These merchants and intellectuals then had the idea to start to boycott U.S. goods to repel the Exclusion Acts, although they were ultimately unsuccessful since the Exclusion Acts were kept in place for decades after the boycott.
My next question then is, how effective was the boycott?
As I said that they were not able to repel the Exclusion Acts, the boycott as a whole was unsuccessful. It did not cause significant damage to the United States economy. However, those in the Western states who relied on trade with China to make a living, and Americans living in China, it did incredibly hinder their economic pursuits as they were specifically targeted through trade, and Chinese would not buy goods from Americans within their own country.
Okay, so next, what led you to argue that scholarship was wrong about giving back the Boxer Indemnity?
I wouldn't say that the return of the Boxer Indemnity was wrong, but I would say that the United States and the Roosevelt administration had hidden agendas when they gave back part of their portion of the Boxer Indemnity and allowed it to be used for Chinese citizens to be educated within America. Their hidden agendas were to be able to have to keep in place their anti-exclusion laws so that more Americans could have the jobs within America and not Chinese immigrants, and to keep the Chinese government thinking that they were willing to go over their relationship and stop treating the Chinese awfully the way they did. Of course, this wasn't true. They kept treating the Chinese the same way, kept excluding them from the country. Another reason is to implement U.S. influence over the future of Chinese leaders and intellectuals. They knew that China was on the brink of collapse and revolution was in the near future. So in order to create American influence over the future of their country, they paid for them to be educated here so as to keep influence over the future.
Okay, lastly, overall, what were the causes and effects of xenophobic relations between China and the United States that you would say?
The cause of xenophobia in China was the Opium Wars the treaties that followed them, which allowed the missionaries free reign. Also, the treatment and exclusion of Chinese immigrants into America contributed to this, as well as the Boxer Protocol. The effects of the xenophobic relations was the Boxer Rebellion and the anti-American boycott. The cause of xenophobia in America was racism and the Chinese immigrants coming over and taking jobs away from Americans. The effects was the violence and murder shown towards Chinese immigrants, as well as all of the anti-Chinese legislation and exclusion acts.
All right, that was a very interesting interview. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you for interviewing me.